You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last Friday was November 1st. That is what many recognize to be All Saints' Day. So we're here today on November 3rd thinking about All Saints' Day. And as I think about the topic of saints, I'm thinking some people get it, many people don't. So let's talk about it today. I want to do that by addressing three questions today. First of all, what is a saint? Second, how are saints blessed by the Lord? In other words, what blessings are coming from him to us? And then third, how should saints respond to the Lord? So from us back to him. Thinking about the word saints in general, though, first of all, it appears 81 times in the English Standard Version of the Bible. That 81 times, it's coming from two particular Hebrew words and one particular Greek word, and they're all connected to the idea of holiness. And maybe most of all, the Greek word in the New Testament is connected because that's the very word that we use for holy in Holy Spirit. So whenever you see saints in the Bible, understand that saints are holy ones. That's a great way to describe a saint, a holy one. Who here today is a holy one? Raise your hand if you're a holy one. Okay, well, we have a lot to talk about then about saints, because I wanted all of your hands to go up, and they didn't. So let's talk about this now. First question here then, what is a saint? Well, understand that some saints are physically alive, while other saints are physically dead. So a lot of people think, okay, I have to die before I can become a saint. But no, that's not true. People who are physically alive, they can be saints too. So let's go further here. For people who died in Jesus Christ, in other words, they died sorry for their sins. They died trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They died as saints. And right away, God took them home to paradise. So we have saints in that category. That's not our category. Maybe that's the category of some of our loved ones. But other people, though, like you and me, what happened with us? We were conceived in our mother's wombs, and according to the Bible, right away, we were in sin. We inherited that from our parents. And then we were finally born, so we came out of the womb. And hopefully shortly after that, we were brought to holy baptism. And what did God do? God was working in conjunction with the water and the word. He was working through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was putting clothing on us. And the clothing he was putting upon us was the very perfect life lived by our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is a saint? A saint is a holy one. We weren't saints from our mother's womb, but in holy baptism, God put, again, that perfect garment around us, the perfect life of Jesus, and therefore, even though we're still not actually holy, the amazing thing is that God, when he looks upon us in Jesus Christ with the baptismal garment on, he sees us as holy. So that's how we are holy ones right now. Even though we sin, God has seen us as holy in Christ. And one day, finally, when we leave this world, then all the sin will be gone and we will be actually holy. But right now, though, very important that God does see us in that way. Also in this first section, I want to share with you just real briefly four Bible passages. And these four passages, they are pointing to the fact that there are people living on earth who are referred to in the Bible as saints. So I want you to get this out of your mind that you have to die to become a saint. So first of all, in Acts chapter 9, it says, Peter came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. What is Lydda? That is a town in Israel, 11 miles southeast of Joppa. So it's an actual place. Saints were living there. They were not dead. They were living people. Also, too, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as Paul begins his letter, he writes, "To the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia." What is Achaia? Achaia is a province of the Roman Empire. So again, we had people living on earth, and they are referred to as saints. How are they saints? Because they are clothed in Jesus Christ. Very similar in Ephesus, the same thing. Paul wrote to them, "To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus." Kind of a definition there of a saint. What is a saint? A saint is someone who is faithful in Christ Jesus. So a saint is not someone who has lived a perfect life. No one can do it. A saint isn't even someone who has done very, very well in living a good life, because that can't make someone a saint either. But a saint always has to be connected to Jesus Christ. And then finally, number four here in this section, in Ephesians 3, Paul wrote, "I am the very least of all the saints." So Paul was saying, I'm a saint too. Why was he the least of the saints? Because before he was converted, he was a great persecutor of the saints. He was rounding up the saints. He was having them put to death. It was a horrible thing. But Paul recognized, though, that by being clothed in Jesus Christ, all of his sins were covered. And now God saw even him, even the great persecutor of the church, even the killer of saints, God saw him as a saint. That's telling us that no one is a lost cause. No matter how great their sins, God is able to cover them in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then the second question, how are saints blessed by the Lord? Now, God is blessing everyone in the whole world, but for the saints in a special way, in many special ways, he is blessing them. In Psalm 37, it says, "The Lord will not forsake his saints." So not only did the Lord have to make us saints, but the Bible is saying he will now preserve us as saints. A great blessing. Psalm 97, "The Lord preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked." So notice there, we have saints and we have wicked, and we could say, wait a minute now, the saints are sinners, the wicked are sinners. Why does he call some saints and some wicked? It's all about Jesus Christ. The ones who are clothed in Christ, even though they're sinners, God sees them to be saints. The ones who have rejected Jesus Christ because they are sinners, God says, you are wicked. It all matters as to whether or not we know and are clothed in Jesus Christ. How about in Daniel chapter 7, it says, "The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever." That's a great blessing, to possess the kingdom. And yet let's understand that none of us deserve it, none of us can earn it, and yet God is so good to us that he's giving it to us. Going on to Matthew chapter 27, this is something that happened on Good Friday, the day that Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says, "The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep," in other words, who had died, "were raised." So that happened on Good Friday with a number of people who died in Christ. Why did that happen? That is pointing to Jesus' victory over death and the grave on the day that he died. So we had a little glimpse of a few people being raised, but that's all pointing ahead to the day when he comes and all people are raised. Now let's understand, the Bible makes it crystal clear, all will be raised, whether they receive Jesus or whether they rejected Jesus, they will all be raised. But the Bible also makes this distinction. It says that those who die in Christ, they will be raised to life. Those who died without Christ, they will be raised, but they will be raised to be condemned. So again, everything is tied up in whether or not we know Jesus Christ. How about in Romans 8? It says, The Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit, who lives within each saint, is going to God the Father on behalf of each saint in prayer. So when we have something that's difficult going on, we don't even know how to get it to God, the Holy Spirit is there helping us in that way. How about in Colossians chapter 1, it says, the Father, God the Father here, has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. So it's not what we did, it's what God the Father has done. And again, God the Father is at work in baptism through the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the water and the Word. That's how he made us saints. So the Holy Spirit has qualified us for the inheritance. Think about the word inheritance for a moment. So do you get an inheritance because you're a good person or because of something you did? Or do you get an inheritance because of a relationship that you have with someone? It's about relationship, isn't it? So what has God done? God the Father has given us a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, now we are in line to receive an awesome inheritance. Again, God has done it all. We just get the benefits. Let's recognize that and give him thanks. Let's go on to the third question. How should saints respond to the Lord? So in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, it says, let your saints rejoice in your goodness. Sometimes life can be so busy that we don't really take time to think how good God is to us. But he is just good to us in, well, like in a zillion ways. So God wants us to recognize that. He wants us to rejoice in his goodness. In Psalm 30, it says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. I wrote my comment here, maybe more for me than for you, but I wrote it like this. I said, let us stop complaining about what we don't have, and let us start being thankful for what we do have. I need that comment to me. Maybe you need it too. Psalm 34, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It primarily means to trust in the Lord. But when we trust in the Lord, then God has changed us inside in such a way that now we want to obey the Lord. And when we obey the Lord, we are showing love for the Lord. Those are all things that are important for us as saints. Psalm 85, it says, the Lord will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Folly is foolishness. When the Lord is speaking to us, God is saying, listen to me. And when we listen, that means we're not only hearing, we're not only understanding, but we're putting into practice what he says. So he's saying to us, keep listening to me and don't turn back to your old, sinful, foolish ways. How about in Ephesians 4? This is kind of a challenge here in Ephesians 4. Paul is explaining the job of church leaders, like myself, for example. Paul said that their job, my job, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So I would ask all of you, how are you being built up? Now, today, you're learning more about saints. If you come down the hall for Bible class, you'll learn on another topic. If you open your Bible during the week, you'll learn all kinds of things God wants you to know. But it's important, though, to be equipped. God wants to do that. He wants to do that through his word. And then it said here, so equipped, and then why? For the building up of the body of Christ. So the equipping is for a purpose in order to build up other people who are believers in Jesus Christ. So I would ask you two things again then. How are you being equipped? And then how are you taking that equipping and then building up other people in Jesus Christ? So those are things to think about, things to pray about. Ephesians 6, Paul Paul was writing to the believers, and he wrote that they should pray for the saints. So that's a call for all of us to pray for other people who are believers. So we can do that by following, for example, the prayer list in our participation guide, or you could even take out your church directory and you have all the different people there. And just work your way through there, maybe all of it at once or maybe a page each day. But if you know certain needs, pray for them. If you don't know certain needs, you can pray in general, but that's a way to pray for others. And then finally, one more passage today. Revelation chapter 14, we have a call here from God to us as saints. It says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints. So God wants us to endure, so he's calling us to do it. But let's know, though, that he's working in conjunction in us and with us in order to make it happen. So it's not something that's all on us, but now that we are saints, God has given us the ability to be able to cooperate with him. So it says again, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So again, it's telling us what a saint is. A saint is someone who keeps the commandments of God and has their faith in Jesus. Jesus has kept the commandments for us perfectly, but we follow him by trying our best to keep them also. We can only do that through our faith in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so on. One final thing here when we come to the topic of saints. So we know in the world today, there are like a billion plus people who are praying to saints. So let's just address that real quick here. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So if we drew it out, it would look like this. So we have God the Father at the top, we have us at the bottom, and we have Jesus Christ, the one mediator in the middle. So that means for us to get to the Father, we have to go through Jesus Christ. If he's the one mediator, can we put anybody else in his place? Is that going to work? It's not. So what do people try to do? They try to do that. They try to put the saints in the middle. But the problem is, there's no call to do that in the Bible. And actually, by doing that, it's contradicting the Bible, because the Bible is clear that Christ is the one mediator. So people who are doing this, they're wasting their time, and they're also going against Holy Scripture. I don't understand why people would spend time doing that when it's not going to be of any benefit. So finally, we might wonder then, why is it that we designate some people as saints? Like we talk about St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, St. Peter, St. Paul. Why do we call them saints? Why do we even have special days in the church here where we talk about them a little bit more than we normally do? We do that because certain people, let me put it this way, certain saints, so we're all saints clothed in Jesus Christ, but certain saints have lived extraordinary Christian lives. And for those ones who have done so, we end up putting them on a pedestal and we say, oh, consider St. Paul, for example, and consider how he gave his entire life after he was converted to serve Jesus Christ, and how he suffered so much physical pain and anguish and trouble in his life, and yet he did it all the way to the end, and he even died because of his connection to Jesus Christ. So we set certain saints up as an example for us, but no matter who they are, no matter how great they are, they're not a saint because of something they did. They're a saint only because of their connection to Jesus Christ. So let's keep that in mind with praying. Let's keep that in mind with how we look at other people. And let's also look in the mirror and say, oh, right there is a saint. We might not feel that way, but let's know that that's what the Bible says. God has made us holy ones because of our connection to Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that we say, I am baptized, not I was baptized. If I say I was, that gives the impression that I've taken the garment of Christ and I've taken it off and I've set it aside. That was a past event. That was something in my past. If I say I am baptized, that means I'm saying, hey, right now, I still have the garment of Jesus Christ on. I still have the forgiveness of my sins. I still have the gift of eternal life. So let's know that in Christ, such things are true. What's our challenge today? Our challenge is simply to think about saints, to realize how blessed we are, and to give thanks to God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for making us holy in your sight through Jesus. Help us to be thankful, and may you keep us ever trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, please attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule: Saturdays, divine service at 4, Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and for much more, go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Now, may the Lord of Peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.